Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, June 9th, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, Randy was up here and said, we're listening to Handel's Messiah. He says, hey, is it Christmas? Sounds like Christmas. And I says, Randy, every day is Christmas at Upland Bible Church. For those of you living the spiritual life, every day is Christmas. Deb and I went to dinner Friday night, and it was only 111 when we went to dinner. And got out, and the valet, Joseph, the valet came up, and he always shakes my hand. I said, Joseph, Merry Christmas. And he about fell down, you know. I said, you know what? We need to take time and count our blessings. Today, I'm counting the blessing. I'm not going to get frostbite. You just got to count your blessings. And at Fleming's, that's one of our favorite places to go. Fleming's Steakhouse. And what did Deb and I, when we go there, we get seafood. And Deb actually looked up, where are the best places for seafood? We eat lots of fish, seafood, and chicken. And what's the best seafood restaurant in our side of town? You know who the number one seafood restaurant? Fleming Steakhouse. Number one seafood restaurant. So we go in there, and I always have my patriotic shirt on, and I tell, and they all know it. They even now, some of them say it to me first, Merry Christmas. I said, Merry Christmas, yeah. So Merry Christmas. When you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual scales, when you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ is your most important love of your life, well then, you will also have Christmas every single day. That's what God wants for all of you, to have Christmas every single day. So far, we haven't quite exegeted all of verse 13. So far, it sounds like this. Therefore, did what is intrinsically good, the Mosaic Law, become the cause of spiritual death to me? Meganoita, emphatically not. But the old sin nature, in order that it might be shown to be sinful by making spiritual death a reality to me, through the intrinsic good Mosaic Law. One, the intrinsically good Mosaic Law exposes the old sin nature with its lust patterns as being sinful and bad. The intrinsically good Mosaic law exposes the old sin nature with its lust patterns as being sinful and bad. And this was the 10th commandment, you shall not lust. The old sin nature is made up of lust patterns. Two, the intrinsically good Mosaic law is not bad because it exposes the bad old sin nature with its lust patterns as being bad. So the intrinsically good Mosaic law is not bad because it exposes the bad old sin nature with its lust patterns as being bad. Three, the true ministry of the Mosaic Law and Codex number one, the commandments, is to reveal the existence of the old sin nature with its lust patterns. The true ministry of the Mosaic Law and Codex number one, the commandments, is to reveal the existence of the old sin nature with its lust patterns. So, point four. So there's nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. Five. The Mosaic Law is perfect and reveals the perfect standards of God. Reveals, where are those perfect standards of God? In His holiness, in His absolute righteousness. His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, we have the perfect standards of God. Romans 7:12 again says, as a matter of fact, therefore, the Mosaic Law is holy. Also, the commandment, the 10th commandment, you shall not lust, is holy and righteous and intrinsically good. Six, these standards reveal both the sinfulness of the sin nature and the status produced by the old sin nature, which is spiritual death. These standards, the absolute righteousness of God, the perfect justice of God, the holiness of God, these standards reveal both the sinfulness of the sin nature and the status produced by the sin nature, which is spiritual death. Seven, the Mosaic Law came from God. God is perfect, and therefore the Mosaic Law is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. Now that brings us to the last clause of verse 13, which says in the King James, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. We have hina plus the aorist middle subjunctive of genomai plus the nominative singular of hamartia with a definite article plus the preposition kata plus with the accusative of hyperbole and hamartolos plus the preposition dia with the genitive singular of entole with a definite article. So hina plus the subjunctive. You've already written it down before I get it up here. Hina plus the subjunctive. H-I-N-A. It will introduce a purpose clause or a result clause. Here it introduces a purpose clause. You translate it for the purpose that or in order that. And then we have hamartia in the singular. Hamartia in the singular, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia in the plural, a personal sin, singular, most of the time the old sin nature, and that's what we have here, the sin nature. And then, genomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I, genomai. And genomai means to become. In order that the old sin nature might become. So in order that, hina plus the subjective, in order that hamartia, the old sin nature, genomai, might become. In order that the old sin nature might become what? Kata huperbolein hamartolas. The preposition kata plus the accusative. K-A-T-A. Kata plus the accusative means according to a norm and standard of something. According to a norm and standard. And then we have huperbole and hamartolos. Both of them in the accusative case. Huperbole. Well, we get our... What English word do we get for huperbole? Hyperbole. Good job for all you English majors. There you go. And then we also have those of you who flunked English. So, H-U-P-E-R-B-O-L long E. Huperbole. And huperbole literally means to an extraordinary degree, beyond measure, utterly. And that's a pretty good translation, translating it utterly, and then hamartolos. Looks like that in the Greek, H-A-M-A-R-T, long O-L-O-S, hamartolos. And hamartolos literally means sinful. When you combine kata with the accusative of huperbole and hamartolos, it best translated sinful in the extreme, sinful in the extreme, or utterly sinful. And that's how we'll translate it, utterly sinful. In order that the old sin nature might become sinful, in the extreme, or utterly sinful. In order that the old sin nature might become sinful in the extreme, or utterly sinful, and then dia plus the genitive of entole. Dia plus the genitive. D-I-A. Dia plus the genitive is by means of. If you have dia plus the accusative, it means because of, on account of. If we have dia plus the genitive, by means of the entole. E-N-T-O-L, long E, entole. And that is the Greek word commandment. The commandment referring to the Mosaic Law. Specifically, Paul is emphasizing the 10th commandment, you shall not lust. So the corrected translation of verse 13. Therefore, did what is intrinsically good, the Mosaic Law, become the cause of spiritual death to me? Meganoita, emphatically not. But the old sin nature, in order that it might be shown, revealed, exposed to be sinful, by making spiritual death a reality to me through the intrinsically good Mosaic Law, in order that the sin nature might become utterly sinful by means of the commandment, the Mosaic Law. specifically the 10th commandment. Now that brings us to verse 14. And now in verse 14, we have a great shift on emphasis, a great shift of emphasis. We shift from the sin nature as the culprit in the first marriage. And what's the first marriage? First marriage is from physical birth to that point of salvation. In the first marriage, the old sin nature is the husband, and the unbeliever is the wife. So here's the husband, and here's the wife. And the culprit, this is the first marriage. This is the first marriage. From physical birth to salvation. From physical birth to salvation, the first marriage, the old sin nature is the husband, the ruler of human life. You're born into this world physically alive, spiritually dead, and the old sin nature is the ruler of human life. So the old sin nature is the husband, and the unbeliever is the wife. So now, in Romans 7:14, there is a great shift of emphasis from the old sin nature as the culprit in the first marriage. Now we go to the second marriage. Second marriage is from spiritual birth, salvation. From that moment of spiritual birth, faith in Jesus Christ, to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. That's the second marriage. In the second marriage, the Lord Jesus Christ is the husband. Perfect husband. And the believer is the wife. Now, there's nothing wrong with the husband in the second marriage. Perfect. But now the culprit potentially is the wife, making bad decisions to get back into slavery to the sin nature by making bad decisions to sin. So we're making, now this is the shift we have now. In verse 14, a great shift of emphasis from the sin nature as the culprit in the first marriage to the believer, the wife, who is also the culprit in the second marriage, when you make the bad decisions to sin and put yourself back into slavery to the sin nature. So, one, the old sin nature was the culprit of the first marriage from physical birth to salvation. The old sin nature was the culprit of the first marriage from physical birth to salvation. Two, through the baptism of the Spirit, that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and resurrection, ascension, and session, current positional truth. Through the baptism of the Spirit, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, there is a transition from the first marriage to the second marriage. A transition from the first marriage to the second marriage. Three, because of this transition from the first marriage to the second marriage, a new emphasis is placed on the wife who is also the culprit potentially. Because of this transition from the first marriage to the second marriage, a new emphasis is placed on the wife, the believer, who now is also the culprit potentially. Four, When the wife of the second marriage, the believer in Jesus Christ, makes bad decisions to go back to the first husband, the sin nature, she is also the culprit. So when the wife of the second marriage, the believer in Jesus Christ, makes bad decisions to go back to the first husband, the sin nature, by making bad decisions to sin, she is also the culprit. So that's what we have here now in Romans 7, verse 14. That's what Romans 7, 14 is all about. So it says here, starts out, "For we know that the law is spiritual." We know that the law is spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. We have the post-positive conjunction gar plus the verb oida plus the conjunction hati with the nominative singular of namas with a definite article plus the present active indicative of eimi with the adjective pneumatikos. All right, the post-positive conjunction gar. Post-positive conjunction gar, once again, it's an inferential gar. It's used in our verse to express a confirmation. And is correctly translated, indeed, indeed, or certainly. And then the verb oida. O-I-D-A, oida. Oida is a frozen form. It is a perfect tense that's used as a present tense. In other words, we have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that we know Bible doctrine now in the present. That's the verb oida. Oida means to know, frozen form. We have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that we know Bible doctrine now in the present. And after verbs of decendi, and oida is a verb of decendi, knowing, thinking, saying, then the conjunction hati introduces an object clause and you translate it that. And then hanamas, that's the definite article, ha, and then namas. Hanamas, the law. The law is the Mosaic law. Then the to-be verb, eimi, is, certainly we know that the Mosaic law is pneumatikos. P-N-E-U-M-A. T-I-K-O-S, pneumatikos. Good catch. Spiritual. That's why Francis sits two rows ahead of you, just in case you do. Certainly, we know that the Mosaic law is spiritual. One. The Mosaic law is spiritual because the Mosaic law comes from God. The Mosaic law is spiritual because the Mosaic law comes from God. Two, God is perfect, and therefore the Mosaic law is perfect. God is perfect and therefore the Mosaic law is perfect. Three, the Mosaic law perfectly fulfills the divine purpose in human history. Perfectly fulfills the divine purpose in human history. Four, the Mosaic law, as the marriage counselor of the first marriage, from physical birth to salvation, perfectly exposes the sin nature as a bad husband of the first marriage. The Mosaic Law, as the marriage counselor of the first marriage, perfectly exposes the sin nature as a bad husband of the first marriage. Five, the Mosaic Law is also perfect because it reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, the solution to the problem. Codex number two, the Lord Jesus Christ. So certainly we know that the Mosaic Law is spiritual. But the Apostle Paul says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We have the postpositive conjunction de plus the personal pronoun ego plus the present active indicative of the to be verb a me with the adjective sarkinos plus the present passive participle of piprasko plus the prepositional phrase hupa plus the accusative singular of hamartia with a definite article. The postpositive conjunction de is used here as a conjunction of contrast. You translate it, but it sets up a contrast between one, the first clause of verse 14, with the second clause of verse 14. It sets up a contrast between the first clause of verse 14 with the second clause of verse 14. Two, it sets up a contrast between the Mosaic Law with the carnal reversionistic believer. Sets up a contrast between the Mosaic Law with the carnal reversionistic believer. Third, it sets up a contrast between that which is spiritual with that one who is carnal. It sets up a contrast between that which is spiritual with that one who is carnal. And then the personal pronoun ego. Ego is I. E-G long O. I. One. Ego refers to the wife of the second marriage, the believer living in carnality and reversionism. Ego refers to the wife of the second marriage, the believer living in carnality and reversionism. The believer making bad decisions to sin. Believers out of fellowship with God. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system instead of living the spiritual life. That's who I is, ego. So it refers to the wife of the second marriage, the believer out of fellowship with God, living in carnality and reversionism. Two, now the wife of the second marriage, the carnal reversionistic believer, that's the culprit. Now the carnal reversionistic believer is the culprit. By their own bad decisions. You're the product of your own decisions. You're free to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life and advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. You're free to make bad decisions, to live in Satan's cosmic system under the power of the sin nature. It's up to you. You're free to be a winner believer. You're free to be a loser believer. God wants you all to be winner believers. Wants you all to be winner believers. If you wind up a loser believer, you do that yourself. You do that all by yourself, by your own bad decisions. So now, the wife of the second marriage, the carnal reversionistic believer, is the culprit. Three, Paul is not speaking about himself. He's not speaking about himself. And this is a deep point. Make sure you get this. Because a carnal reversionistic believer does not write scripture. You got that? Four, Paul is speaking about all carnal, reversionistic believers living in Satan's cosmic system. Paul is speaking about all carnal, reversionistic believers living in Satan's cosmic system. Five, Paul is presenting a doctrinal principle. He is not giving a personal confession. Paul is presenting a doctrinal principle. He is not giving a personal confession. So we have, but I am Sarkinos. And this is the carnal reversionistic believer. Sarkinos. Looks like that in the Greek, S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. Sarkinos comes from sark. Sark is the word for the flesh or sin nature. And this is sarkinos. Literally, it means fleshly or belonging to the realm of the flesh. Figuratively, sarkinos is the word carnal. Carnal, believers out of fellowship with God. Believers who have returned to that first husband, the old sin nature. And then we have peprako. P-I-P-R-A-K long O. Peprako. One, it means to sell. To sell. It was used of selling someone as a slave. Selling someone into slavery. Three, in the Septuagint, it was used to translate the Hebrew verb makar, which meant to be led astray. It was used to translate the Hebrew verb makar. Looks like that in the Hebrew, M-A-K-A-R, makar. And that means to be led astray. Four, it is the believer making bad decisions to sin and to turn back to the first husband, the sin nature. It is the believer making bad decisions to sin and turn back to the first husband, the sin nature. And the perfect tense is the dramatic perfect. The dramatic perfect describes the fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The passive voice, the carnal reversionistic believer receives the action of being sold back under the authority of the sin nature by his own bad decisions to sin. The participle is circumstantial temporal and is correctly translated, but I am carnal. When? The temporal circumstantial part. But I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the sin nature. The preposition hupa, under, denotes agent or cause. You translate it by. However, hupa plus the accusative, which is what we have, means under, under the power, under the rule, under the sovereignty. Accusative, the accusative object of the preposition is hamartia, in the singular, the sin nature. Under the power of the sin nature, under the rule of the sin nature, under the sovereignty of the sin nature. So, certainly, We know that the Mosaic law is spiritual, but I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the rule of the sin nature. You get that? Certainly we know that the Mosaic law is spiritual, but I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the rule of the sin nature. And that's something you do all on your own. You're the product of your own decisions. You're free to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to advance to spiritual maturity, to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You're free to have that most important love of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But at the same right, you have a free will. And you can make bad decisions. Bad decisions to sin. Bad decisions to live your life in Satan's cosmic system. Bad decisions to live in carnality and reversionism. And to go from warning discipline to intensive discipline to dying discipline. And sad to say, but there are many Christians today that that's the path that they're on. But you know whose fault it is? Their own fault. Nobody else's. You're the product of your own decisions. You're free to make good decisions to live the spiritual life. You're free to make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system under the power of the sin nature. But I expect all of you to make the good decisions. The good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will be your most important love. And I expect all of you to have Christmas every single day. With our heads bowed, Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.